Okay, this is April 25th, and the topic this week is question and answers.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Always so nice to see a room filled with gods and goddesses. I hope that you people are letting that sink in to your consciousness. It's one of those things that you just have to keep telling yourself until you start to believe it. That's the only way you can do it. Some people say, oh, I don't have any faith. Well, everyone has faith. You just have to keep working on it. That's until you convince yourself of those things. So, anyway, with that said, I'm open for questions and answers.
Can I ask a question, teacher?
Yes.
Well, you know, you bring up every now and then, you know, let's say like karma, you mentioned, you know, once in a while. Now, is karma and metaphysics kind of related?
Metaphysics does believe in karma, but it believes in instant karma. You don't wait around 10 years and it comes up and bites you. No, instant karma means when you make a mistake, you know it's a mistake. That's instant karma. No.
Thank you. About karma. Do you believe that we come in with karma to work out?
No.
No?
I do not. That you're born with karma that you have to work out. No, this is not a game of some sort. I think you come in completely blank, and then you allow all these people and your parents and everything to stuff you full of things that are usually wrong. Yes?
How can this, well, does metaphysics have an explanation for why some people seem to have it? I mean, I don't mean materially better off than others, but I mean just generally materially, spiritually, emotionally, mentally.
Yes. They work on it.
Better off.
You have to work on it constantly. You're the one who has to change and so forth. And we don't do that the way I think we should. Now, this is my opinion. Because today, no one works on anything. They take a pill. Or they take a drink. Or they smoke a cigarette. And you have to work on all this stuff. It's all the mental stuff that's going on all the time. You have to clear that mental garbage out of your head. You see? That helps you.
Some believe that you come into this world with a lot of things to work on from your previous lives. And that's what they label as karma, some people.
Yes.
But you don't believe that at all.
No.
That you do not. What about choosing your parents?
I think we do choose our parents. Mm-hmm. That part I can go for. Because you're matching. It's different things out here in the ethers that have to come together. And the parents and children come together.
But then why would some parents' children be abused by their parents?
Because the child needs to learn something.
Would a child choose that, though?
They may not know it.
But then aren't you saying we kind of have an agenda of things we'd like to experience?
Well, I think we do have an agenda of things we'd like to experience. And I think we can experience anything that you want to experience. This thing called God is not holding anything back, saying, oh, no, you have to wait for your next lifetime to do something, you know.
But you're saying we choose our parents. So let's say there's an abused parent that abuses a child. But the child doesn't know
At a level, they learn
a lesson from this. If they can't get that concept,
at some level, they know that.
Subconsciously,
or consciously, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, they have
They know it. That's one of the hardest things in any religion or any metaphysical teaching about children, because immediately then people want to know, why does God let children suffer? And I do not think God lets anyone suffer, but I don't understand that part. But that's one of those things I put on the shelf. You see, I just put it up there, and someday I'll take it down and understand it. Right now I don't understand it, so I just put it on the shelf. Doesn't mean I throw the baby out with the bathwater.
So what if it just stays on the shelf forever? Is that okay?
Yeah. It's okay.
So you can accept that it could just stay there forever. Like,
yes. Mm-hmm. I can accept that. Yeah. See, we think we have to work everything out and have an answer to everything. It's only Western culture, you know, that lives in that state of mind, that we have to know the answer. Eastern religions and Eastern people, they don't care about the answer. See, we have to have that answer. But they can live in mystery.
They can
live in the mystery. See, they don't have to know the exact answer to anything. It's our Western mind that has to know the answer to everything. Eastern people, you know, they believe in miracles and all that. It's easy for them. It's not easy for us to believe in that kind of stuff because we have to know the answer.
It's sort of a question, but it's more of a thought. Like, I've been thinking about wanting, you know, when you want something,
yes,
and it's not here. The idea that wanting something enough is going to make it happen, I question that.
And I think you should question that. But you know, I'm a great one for wanting things, for coveting things, for doing all those crazy things, and it works for me when I use those concepts. But it's a difficult concept also. Because you want, you want, you want. Now, many people in metaphysics, as soon as you say, I want something, they say, oh, no, that makes you needy. You know? That's, you're not needy. You want something, you want it, for God's sake. Go
doesn't
out.
It just bring you the energy of wanting, unless you focus.
Well, you have to put a title. You have to know what's going on. You just don't sit around wanting. I want a car, I want money, I want a relationship, I want this, this, and this. It's all right to want those things. But then do something about it, you know. Don't just sit there saying, I want something. If you want a car, start looking at cars. Start putting a dollar away a week. And then you'll eventually get whatever you want. It's little steps, people.
Stay in knowing.
Pardon?
Stay in knowing.
I still didn't get it.
Stay in knowing.
Oh, stay in knowing. Absolutely.
You know, wanting, needing, hoping.
Yes.
Brings you the energy of hoping, wanting, and needing.
Yes.
If you stay in knowing, these things you want come to you, or your divine right, or whatever.
I sit around knowing that God wants to give me all this stuff, that the universe wants to give it to me, and it's absolutely possible because the stuff is all there in the ethers anyway. It's just you can't see it at the present moment. That's all. Everything you want is already here.
What is causation?
Causation? Well, causation is something that causes something. Now, in this teaching, causation is God. You see? God is always first cause. Always first cause. You know, people sit around, they want money and so forth. When I want money, I sit down and remind myself that God is my source and my supply. And as soon as I remember God is my source and my supply, money comes.
There's no limit to
anything. Only our mind puts limits on things. There's no limit in the mind of God. We always have to go back to that idea that all things are possible with God. All things. And you've heard that since childhood, haven't you? And now you have to make yourself really believe that and know that that is the absolute truth. And then things will happen. It's always the little negations in your mind that keep you from manifesting things. You know? The little negations in your mind that causes you from having what you want. Well, let me see if I can explain that to you. I want money. You make that affirmation, but your mind says, well, you're not going to get money. Look at you. You're too old. You don't do anything. Where the hell do you think the money is going to come from? That's it. Your mind does that right away. We're always teaching mind here, and people say to me sometimes, I think, well, how do you know those things, Dallas? I have a mind. And if I have a mind, I know what your mind's doing also. You see? That's how we do that. Yes?
Well, what you said about God is my source, my supply. I believe an example for me is, well, I don't have work now, and I'm looking for work. So I have this karmic thing with Christine. I don't know what it is exactly, but I somehow put this out into the universe, and she found me to do some paintings for some paintings to paint. I love doing
exactly.
So, I mean, to me, when you use the word God here, I mean, I was just thinking Christine. Christine is my source and Mr. God.
Well, that's true.
Through God.
Yes.
I mean, we both
well, she is God.
Concept, but for me, it's happened, a couple of things like that have happened between the two of us, but it's been, she's been the one bringing to me the gifts. And I don't know what my gifts to her exactly are, but It's
first of all, she's giving you something. You have to accept that. You have to receive those blessings from her.
Yes.
And you don't have to pay her back. There's no, it's not that type of thing that, you know, I'll scratch your back, you scratch my back, all that kind of crap. No, not that at all. Now, you'll probably do it, but it's not necessary.
I get a lot of this stuff because I don't have money and I have these lovely people.
Stop saying that.
Well,
you must have some.
I don't know how to reword it.
Money is at the present moment not freely circulating in my life.
Okay.
But I am doing things about that and I see things coming to me. Christine gives me jobs. That's going to go out and do more for you.
Yes.
But you must never, people, never, never, never say, I don't have any money. I tell you the story about my friend Ruth, Christian. The other day she called me and said, I'm going to put my name in for the board of directors at my little condo. I said, well, that's wonderful, Ruth. But she said, I will not be the treasurer because I'm not good with money. I don't have money and I can't understand money. So you can't do that kind of stuff. You cannot say that kind of stuff. She knows money. She probably has more than we do. But I left her get away with that because I didn't have the strength that day to argue with her. I thought, let her, you know. Yeah. You can't say those things to yourself, you know. And if you're a poor money manager, learn to be a money manager. You have to learn that stuff. I never even saw a checkbook when I was growing up. My parents never had any of that kind of stuff that I could ever find. Or if they did do it, they must have done it at nighttime after midnight when we went to bed. Money was never discussed in the house. There was never any of that kind of stuff. I had to learn how to do it. Yeah. But that Ruth, she's absolutely has no money and doesn't understand money, can't manage money. Well, right there. I wouldn't want her as treasurer on the board, would you? If you can't understand money.
But she has money.
Yes, she does.
Sure she does.
Why would she say that then?
Well, not only that, they really think so. I had a friend in New York. She's no longer with us. She always said, I have no money. But she had a savings account that with $20,000 or $40,000 in it, you know. But she wouldn't. That didn't faze her. That one, you know. So it's the way of looking at things and the way to look at money. But never say you have no money.
Focus on what you do have.
Yes. And you're doing swell. You're not thrown out in the streets, are you? No.
So, but I've learned a lot since I without you coming back at me. I've learned so much since I'm not living this lifestyle I've lived all my life with a lot of money.
Good.
I've had to completely change myself inside to create things like pick up rocks on the beach and paint.
Well, yes. But that's being creative and nice. You don't.
I've had to, you know, get magazines and make collages out of 99 cent stores, which has been lovely. And I've learned a lot about the basic core things that I love.
Yes.
Now, because I have, it's a lesson that I've learned.
Absolutely.
But now the new lesson is, okay, now I'm to the point I absolutely have to find work.
Yes, well, I see now you're becoming desperate. I absolutely have to in all this. You have to know that the job is already there for you, and it's coming to you right here and right now.
There's a strong part of you that does believe that.
Yes. So, what is your concern? You're worried. Get rid of worry. Remember, worry will not add a cubit to you.
The concern is putting my financial burdens on other people. That's the biggest concern.
Well, you're not putting your financial burdens on other people. If you want to put your financial burdens someplace, put it on God.
I mean, not my children, my
brother. Oh, hell no. That's not the way you put it on God. God can do it. God can do it. And know that you're always being taken care of. You don't need your brother and your children and so forth. You're an independent woman. Yeah.
So we all get to that point, though, where we do worry.
Yes.
We're triggered, and we worry. Yeah. I mean, it happened to me. I was feeling like that. And then afterwards, once I could step out of it, I could see it. But when you're in it, you can't always see it.
No.
So when you identifying is the first part of the problem. When you can identify, like, oh, there's a thing I do, I'm worrying. But what are some practical things that we can do to bring ourselves back to center and not worry?
I am always being taken care of. Even when there appears that I'm not, I am being taken care of. That this universe absolutely, totally supports me because I am one with it. The universe wants me to succeed, and I am going to succeed. And I will not allow myself to worry about it. If you know that you're living in the Garden of Eden, why are you worried? See? You have to train yourself not to worry. The world worries. The world loves to worry. Remember, you didn't worry enough over a test in school or something, then you didn't get a good grade. It was all, the worry was supposed to help you do something. Worry doesn't do anything. Like hard work. The only thing hard work produces is perspiration.
Well, and even if it's not worry, I know there have been times in my life where, like, my income level was at such a point that a lot of my mental facilities were going to figure out, you know,
how
which bill was going to be paid next, what, you know. So there were practical things. So those affirmations are great. Are there other things that we can do that will help us
find the inspired actions to take, or what things?
You have to ask for the inspired action.
Ask for the inspired action.
Yes. What is my next step? You see. Do you remember the three things that my friend gave me years ago, Betty? I'm always divinely guided. I always take the right turn in the road. And God always makes a way where there appears to be no way. And that's what you have to remember. It's coming to you right here and right now. When you worry and so forth, it stops. Yeah, it just stops.
For me, it was a leap of faith. When I stopped worrying, I thought the bills always get paid, so why go into the worry? So if I didn't put that out there, a floodgate of abundance came in, and I never went back to worry again, because I knew every month, you know, that would keep rolling over. So I kind of had an epiphany with it.
And then that affirmation, I put that affirmation on checks, God bless and multiply this money quickly, the first letters of each of those words, and ever since then,
always.
I've never had a problem.
Yes. Ever. I've been doing
it. She gave me that check tonight for the painting I did for her. And so now it's, you know, it's paying it forward.
Yes.
Now I have the check.
Exactly.
Which I thought was
good. Ever since I've been doing that, and it's got probably 30 years or more by now, I have never run out of money. I've never run out of money.
It's just a matter of doing it and practicing it. And
yes.
It. You don't
it's
even almost have to
do have it. Habit.
Do it. And watch what happens.
Yeah. And believe it, I love writing it.
What? Tell me what
they.
What are
God
they?
God bless.
Oh,
this money.
Oh, no, God bless and multiply this money quickly.
This money, 1,000 times. I don't
have.
You know, I make my own up. But
yeah, and then know that money does do that for you. See, the reason why you're not getting what you want because you think the money's not working for you. Money is always working for you. And you have to know that. And it's always attracting more money to you. But if you say, oh, my money, or I don't have any money, that's not going to get you anywhere.
He taught us to bless this money, let it go out, and do good things.
Yes.
And roll back over, and then roll
right.
back.
Money is God in action. So, think of that. Good things.
Yes, it is.
Okay, on the subject of money and money is, you know, always
freely
circulating and all of that. Well, I know this one person comes to mind. I put even more than one person like this, but they're very metaphysical in their thinking, but they're very lazy in their acting and their behavior, and I don't think money manifests in their life.
Graphic.
Because of it. So, I mean, can you talk about that a little bit? I mean, you still gotta do something to make money.
Oh, you always have to do something to make money. Now, it could be your thinking or whatever. You have to think of something to keep it going, absolutely.
Yeah.
And the people in metaphysics and so forth, you see, it's a... like a game to them and all. They love to rattle off affirmations. Then they go outside and they don't keep it going. You have to immerse yourself in this teaching. It has to be everything. You can't, you know, say it works today and it doesn't work tomorrow, whatever, you know. It works all the time. And you have to start seeing that it's working all the time. Even in wee, small little things. I think I've told you before, if I'm all out in the street and there's a nickel or a dime or a penny, I immediately pick it up and say, thank you, money from heaven. Money from heaven. Now, a lot of people won't pick up a penny because it's only a penny.
I don't remember if I told the story of my finding the 26 cents. Did I share that from here?
No.
I was at a restaurant a couple weeks ago, and the man behind me dropped a quarter and a penny. And I told, oh, you left. He said, you dropped some money on the ground. And he said, oh, it's okay, you can have it. Okay, so I took it. And the next day I went to do my laundry, and it was a cold, rainy day. Well, I was exactly 25 cents short. And I was going to have to go out in the car and, you know, get the change and all this stuff. And then I remembered, that's right, I have that one quarter that person gave me. And so I have to remember that.
Yes. And you have to say thank you. Yeah.
Remember, thank you.
Yes.
Because at the time it was nice of them, but it was like, it was exactly the amount of money I needed to do my life.
And when he said that to you, take the 26 cents, you should have said, thank you, more please.
To yourself.
Yeah. To myself. Yeah, right.
Yes.
So always you have to thank. For everything that you have, you have to give thanks. And that the book that we're going to go, that my friend John's giving to the class, to every member here, is a new book called Thank and Grow Rich. Mm-hmm. Is that a Think and Grow
Thank
Rich?
And
Thank and Grow Rich. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. And it won't be out till August. He already checked. It's a new book by Pam Grout, I believe her name is. Wonderful metaphysician. So I can't wait till we get that book. And see different ways to get rid of all the things that we've heard all our life, that most of it's not true. Now, well, how about the one that we've all heard, money doesn't grow on trees?
Mm-hmm.
We should, yes.
From birth.
We should absolutely, from birth they tell you, yes. We have to absolutely know and believe that money does grow in trees, that money is always here, that there's always this abundance. You see, the world wants to tell you all the time that money is scarce. If that person has it, you don't have it. If that country has it, this country doesn't. But that isn't the way it works. That's an out-and-out lie, you see. So think of all those things and make yourself be a metaphysician and live in the spiritual world instead of the world that they want you to live in out here. I do not live in their world. I absolutely refuse to live in that world. I live in my own world. Do I know economics? Poquito. But I have my own system of how to do things. And my system happens to work for me. Will it work for anybody? Probably. But it may not, because you have to believe in what you're doing. See, there's always a different way. Just because economics is telling you this, that, and the other thing, there has to be other ways to do it, you see. Because all things are possible with God. And it's always the possibilities that we're looking at. We live in a field of total possibilities, people. Total possibilities. Every day there's wonderful things coming your way. Scott, don't you have a question back there, young man? Pardon?
Absorbing,
okay. That's good too. Since we have these kids playing. These two. If I had my yardstick.
Do you have any affirmations for actors and auditions?
Yes, I do. First of all, you always have to look at the audition as fun. And you must realize that the people that you're auditioning for always want you to succeed. They're not against you. And what happens, an actor walks in, something happens, and they think, oh, the casting director doesn't like me, is against me. You must know that everyone likes you. And the other wonderful affirmation that all actors should use is, the camera is always on me. The camera is always on me.
I'm the lead in my show.
Yeah.
You mean even when you're not on camera?
Oh, yeah, even when you're not on camera.
This is around. This is a picture of one of my money pods. I put dozens of them on the tree.
Oh,
eggs,
wow.
Little green sequenced glittered eggs. Mm-hmm.
About this big, and they're all on the inside of the tree.
Yeah.
In the canopy.
You're going to pass it back?
I thought.
Money pods.
You know, and it just...
What are they made of?
Styrofoam.
Uh-huh.
They like put little hooks in them.
Who else wants to see this?
Huh?
And how many do you put on the tree?
There's about a dozen under there. 10. But I, you know, I thought we might grow...
Yeah.
You know, I kind of... It's like a magical tree in the front of the house. And...
So cute.
You know, I thought it was just a visual to kind of... go with believing that money comes easily through that tree.
So is there, to pursue Christine's question, is there an affirmation to get auditions or to get more auditions?
Auditions are always coming to me. I get so many auditions that I have to refuse some. You have to see auditions all around. And actors, I cannot understand, in this day and age, if you turn on the television, I must have 700 stations on the television. They all need actors. Isn't it ridiculous? You'd think. So you have to be able to have an audition all the time. I just saw a new... what's it called, Freedom Station or something like that? Did I see that? You know, I don't know. I just flick till I find something I like. I have no idea what the stations are.
You really have to get ready mentally for an audition. They're so tough. And
yes.
You just feel so insecure, and you have to get over all of that.
Yes.
To succeed, it's very difficult. But it's all up to the individual.
It's up to the individual, and it's building self-confidence.
Yeah.
God, here's a door of opportunity.
Well, yes. And the more you knock, the more doors open.
And self-confidence is really just a...
number one.
It's just a choice.
Yes.
It's a thought. It's a belief.
It is.
Right?
And it is a thought.
It's a thought. I mean, it isn't necessarily based on, you know, a history of good choices or... I don't know what it is. But I think it's ultimately, it seems to me like it's just believing that.
It is believing, and you have to be around people that want to build you up, and you have to know how to build your own self up.
Yeah, that's what it takes.
It takes
self-confidence.
Yes, it takes self-confidence. And we don't instill self-confidence in people.
So this is kind of interesting, the audition thing. So a lot of times I prep myself and, you know, I'm just there, focused. I'm like, this doesn't matter to me. You know, I don't even want this. But if it comes, it comes. And then, but then I get there and I sit there waiting, and all of a sudden...
Go away. Right. It saps it right out of you. And they do that type of thing, I think, deliberately, you know. So you have to know what's going on and change your mind and say, I can do this, you see. It's not going to zap my self-confidence. Yeah. It's worked out. The whole system's worked out to take your self-confidence away.
That's very true. You walk in and like feel really prepared, and then you see seven other people that could all have also prepared for the role.
I had a friend, Kevin, beautiful boy, blonde, blue eyes. I mean, he was just absolutely gorgeous. A model, of course. And I said to him, "Geez, you must really do well when you go on auditions as a Lord, because you're—he to me was stunning." He said, "Dallas, I walk into a room and there are 50 other people looking just like me, just like me."
True.
Yeah. So that must knock your self-confidence right down the wall.
It's just kind of become statistics. You just don't know.
You don't know what they're thinking, what they want from you, or anything. Are you leaving us?
Yeah, I'm leaving.
See ya.
Bye.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Well.
See you next week.
Okay. Nice seeing you, Scott. So anyway, think of that. Remember last week I told you my friend John, he's the one that's giving us the books. Last week was the first time that he heard that he was that he mattered in a session that I had with him. He said, I tell you that concept. Never heard it. And so that was a wonderful aha experience for him. And then actors, you have to know that you matter, that you're sitting there. You matter. The same. Yeah.
The thing about do matters. I mean, I was thinking today about some of my friends that are really doing important things in the world that quote matter. And then I think, well, what is there that am I doing that matters? I mean, it's doing something important.
Why does it have to be important? Everything you do is important. You're qualifying things. You can't qualify things.
I matter just because I exist.
Absolutely. And aren't you nice to people and kind to people?
Yeah.
All right. There you have it.
The world would be incomplete
without you.
Yeah.
So you need that. It's just redoing your whole thinking, your system. Because the world tells you that. It always tells you the exact opposite of what you want. So, my famous one that I remember always was Boy Scouts. I love Boy Scouts. And what was their thing? God first, other second, and self third. That's completely wrong. It has to be self first, other second, and then God. Because if you don't love yourself, you can't love another person, and you certainly can't love God. So, you have to learn. And we're not taught to learn to love ourselves. And if we do love ourselves, what do your parents say to you? Don't be conceited.
That's right.
Don't you dare.
Right.
And if we wanted something, when I wanted something, my father would say, "Who do you think you are, Rockefeller?" Mm. No, but I'd like to be. So it's all done in your mind, people. Everything comes down to mind. And you must train your mind, and you must tell it what you want it to do for you, instead of letting it run its own thing. Because if you don't run your mind will run you. It will. And easy, isn't it, for it to do that mind you thought. I had to tell my mind that this afternoon to shut up. I often tell it, shut up, I'm not listening to that. Well, you have to. Otherwise, I'd go down the tubes also.
And does it stop?
Oh, yes, it does. And the more you say it, it responds to you. But if you know, when you first start out, it's saying, you don't mean that. Well, I've been around too long with you. You don't mean that. Forget it. I do mean it now, you see.
Right.
That's why I talk to it. And make it do what I want it to do. And once you get that under your head there, life turns around, it's so much better. It's so much better to do all this. Anybody else? Question? We have one more. What time is it? I don't have a watch.
7:50.
Oh, 10 minutes. All right. Ask the question, people. Jerry, no more questions?
Well, I was just thinking, I was listening to everybody talk, and I was just thinking that I don't think, you know, I've worried a lot in my life.
You didn't?
I have worried a lot and been in fear, you know, entertained fearful thoughts, you know, in my lifetime, but as I've gotten older, I've shrugged, I think, certainly the majority of it. Not very often that I worry or get in fear about certainly money and stuff like that. But I do like, and I, you know, heard this from you and read it in some of the books I've read about, thinking about it, if it's in God's divine plan for me to have something, then I'm going to get it, you know, and, right? And
that makes me shudder. Why does it make me shudder? Because you said if it's God's plan.
Okay.
It's your plan. God's plan for you is good, and greater good is joy, and more joy is love and more love. But it's not saying, I think Jerry needs a new Porsche. God does not know a Porsche from a hole in the head. Never do that to yourself, people. What did you just do when you said that?
What did I do?
Separate. You're immediately separated from God. See, everyone wants to give God credit for everything. Well, that's true. You may do that. And so many people, you know that God is mighty and all. My thing to teach you is that God is useful. You can use God. So, but whenever you say God and me, and instead of God as me, you've separated yourself.
So it's not God's plan. It's
your plan. Everyone wants to know what God's will is for them. God's will for you is joy, happiness, and all that. Not, oh, I think you'll live in Beverly Hills or something. No. You make those decisions. Okay? Does that help you?
Very
much. Yeah.
Right. And you mentioned causation. It reminded me of, remember actualization?
Oh.
In the 70s and 80s?
Self-actualization. Yes.
What? I went through something.
What's that?
Self-actualization means you have to realize that you're God.
It's kind of a matter of fact. Teaching.
Yeah. We have the self-realization centers here in town. Yogananda, somebody or other. I never get those Indian names right.
Paramahansa Yoga Institute. I've read some of these books.
That's interesting, because I think that was a big part of that was a psychologist who created a pyramid of
Maslow.
Thank you, Maslow. Like there's certain things that you need to have taken care of before you can think about other things.
Correct.
Yeah. So like you have your shelter, food, and shelter and food. I guess those are the main ones. Then you're free to like think about more spiritual things and have self-actualization. But the thing we learn is that, like, even if you're in danger of not having your food or shelter, you should still go to God first. You should still know about that you are God.
Yes, God's always first. And that Maslow's pyramid of something. I'll think of it. But what happens to most people in the world and so forth? Why do you think we're having all these situations all over the globe. People are hungry. You cannot teach God to 100 hungry stomachs. It's an impossibility. You can't do it. First of all, it's that thing of survival. You must eat. Once you have, they found that in schools, don't they? If the kids came with no food, they couldn't learn.
Right.
So it's very important. You have to have food, people. And we have to be able to supply food to everyone on this planet. We have enough food, we have enough abundance, we have enough of everything to do it. We have to figure out how to get it circulating. Yeah. So, metaphysics, you won't learn metaphysics if you're hungry either.
Well, another thing on that pyramid is shelter.
Shelter, yeah. Well, we all need those things.
Yeah,
I can see it.
Yeah, me too.
But I can't remember all of it anymore.
Yeah.
No. So, people, know that you're being taken care of. I say that to you so many times. And once it gets into your mind that you truly are being taken care of, you will know that you're truly being taken care of. Casey found that out, didn't you, that you're being taken care of? Because when I first met you, you hadn't a clue, did you? You had a clue?
Certainly not.
Not that you were being taken care of, right? Because you were worried about, we're always worried about money. And that's a horrible state to be in. Are you still worried about money?
Yeah.
Well, give it up. And know that you're being taken care of.
Just this month.
Just this month. Well, that's
okay. Get through April.
Talking about worrying about money, one technique I heard recently that was really good is that if you're worrying about something that you shouldn't be worrying about, focus on something that brings you great joy and pleasure. Like something that you're not worried about. It. Focus on the positive. It's sort of like the gratitude list almost. You know?
Yes.
Focus on things that you can raise your vibration on positive things like that.
Yeah,
worry is a low vibration.
Okay.
There you go.
You're always being taken care of. Remember that. And it's wonderful. So are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.